Oh, when the red, red robin comes bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song.
It's time for the West Virginia Nest Podcast. The show's all about the beautiful birds in West Virginia. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at WVNest. Email us your comments or questions at WVNest@gmail.com.
When the red, red robin, there comes a bob, bob, bobbin. Oh, when the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbin along.
Here's your host, Kid Conley.
Oh, what a busy day we've had going on here at the old Conley household. Trying to cram everything into one Sunday. It's been tough, to say the least. It was supposed to rain today because, I've told you before, it rains every single day in West Virginia, but we were supposed to get thunderstorms all day today. So I thought I had all day to do the podcast, and I got up this morning. Well, it was actually closer to the afternoon. I had a late night, but it was beautiful, sunny and beautiful, and I had to cut my grass, so I had to get that out of the way. I wanted to get dinner started for after the podcast. I've got a huge rack of baby back ribs in the crock pot going at it hard right now, so that's what I'll be having a little bit later on today. So let's get on with the birdcast. It occurred to me during the week that I made such a huge deal out of Mother's Day, and we had a podcast on Mother's Day. Of course, that's on a Sunday, that I've totally forgot about Father's Day last week. So I got to, just give a big belated happy Father's Day to all the fathers who listen to the podcast. It was a great Father's Day for me. I got to hear from all my kids, all four of them. I have three daughters and a son, and I either talked to them on social media or talked to them in person or message, text, whatever. I got to talk to all of them, and I got a great Father's Day present. My wife bought me a Tascam DR05. I don't know if you know what that is, but it's a digital recorder. And this is going to improve the podcast. I have the ability now with this crystal clear digital Tascam recorder, and it's a beautiful unit. It's red. It's got stereo microphones on it. Picks up just crystal clear, especially if you plug a mic into it. But what this does is it allows me to take this out into the field with me when I go birding and record bird sounds, because a lot of you know that I've been working on a bird database for, gosh, going on a year probably now. It's a spreadsheet of basically birds that I've encountered, and I try to get a sound from them if I can. Sometimes I've got to go online and download the sound, but I'm going to correlate all that with the spreadsheet. I got to figure out a way. I used to think that I was a spreadsheet ninja, particularly Microsoft Excel. And I'm trying to figure out a way to where you could just press a button on the spreadsheet and actually hear the sound. And there's a couple of different ways we can go about it, but I've had to enlist some people who are much better with spreadsheets than I am. So anyway, I got a great Father's Day present. This is going to be a huge improvement to the podcast, because not only can I get some bird sounds, but I can also take it out and do interviews and bring it back and upload it for the podcast. So it's going to help the podcast a lot. And it was very expensive digital recorder. So big thanks to my wife for my DR05. I love it. Let's get on with the podcast this week. One of the biggest questions that I get constantly is about bully birds. Bully birds is kind of a new term. It used to be blackbirds. Everybody just said blackbirds. But I think through a lot of education on the show, we've let people know that birds like starlings and house sparrows, they're not blackbirds. Starlings are black, but they're technically not a blackbird. And so we used to just say, how do you get rid of the blackbirds? But now it's other species that are moving into the yard. And by bully bird, what does that mean when I say bully bird? These are birds that take over feeders. They take over habitats. They take over food sources, particularly in your yard if you feed the birds. And they have a tendency to be a little aggressive toward other birds. In other words, chase them off. And sometimes that's just by sheer numbers. Sometimes you get a flock of 20 or 30 starlings that will fly into a yard, and other birds will just take off. I mean, it's just the way it is. There's strength in numbers, even for birds, I guess. So we're going to talk about the big three, the big three bully birds in West Virginia. And those, of course, are European starlings, grackles, and we'll just put all the blackbirds together with the grackles. So European starlings, grackles, and house sparrows. And by far, house sparrows are the ones that I get the most questions about. Everybody wants to know how you can get rid of these birds in your yard. And there's a number of different ways that you can go about doing it. And the biggest way of all is to quit feeding the birds for 7 to 10 days. I'm just coming off of this. I went about 10 days without putting any seed or suet or anything out. And what happens is these birds, the mentality of these bully birds is that they have a tendency to go where the food is. If the food isn't there, they'll take off. They'll find another location. And typically songbirds will not do that. Songbirds seem to remember where they get food from. And even if they migrate during the wintertime, they come back in the summertime. A lot of times they'll come right back to your yard because they remember that there's food there. Now, unfortunately, this works with some of the bully birds too. But immediately they don't come back. I've had real good success. Like I said, I'm just coming off a 10-day spree where I just didn't put any food out because I was getting so many starlings, so many grackles in the yard. And I don't really mind the house sparrows so much because I don't get as much as them. But I could see where they would be a problem to some people who do get a lot of house sparrows. But I get 3 or 4 maybe a day, and that's it. But the grackles, I'll get flocks of 20 to 30. Same with starlings. And so a lot of times, a couple of times a year, I'll do this. I'll just stop feeding birds. And yeah, I mean, it makes you feel bad, especially if you're walking by a window and you look out and you see cardinals out there where the food would normally be. And they're just sitting there on a feeder and it's empty. Yeah, you feel bad for that. But you almost have to do it if you have a chronic problem with these bully birds. So there are other ways that you can do it. That way works absolutely the best. I'm having huge success with it. I always have. I started feeding the birds in my yard last night, and I've looked outside today and I've not seen any bully birds, but the birds are there. I've seen chickadees and titmice, which I wasn't seeing because I had so many grackles out there. So I was kind of surprised to see that. Of course, my house finches. We have a lot of house finches here at my house in South Charleston. I see the mockingbirds out there, robins, especially after I cut the grass. You know how the birds are. They'll wait for you to cut the grass, and then they just kind of move in. Well, I guess my birds are, they're so used to me being out there, and it's almost like they know I feed them, because I'll have robins sitting not 10 feet from me on the fence waiting for me to cut a strip of lawn so that they can hop down there and get the birds. So they're not worried about me. They know that I'm there to help them. But the big three are the European starlings, the grackles and other blackbirds, and of course house sparrows. Now, some people consider pigeons and doves bully birds. I definitely don't. I get both in my yard, but I'll mention those. If you're having a problem with them, I'll mention some ways. Doves definitely have a tendency to be aggressive toward other birds. I've seen it. But typically, most people love the doves. I know there's a religious connection there or whatever. But if you don't like the doves, if you don't like the pigeons in your yard, I definitely see why. There's a lot of mess with pigeons. We'll mention a few ways that we'll keep those out. So the first thing we want to do is identify these birds. We're going to know what you're looking at. I'll give you some history on each one of them, and I'll teach you how to get rid of them out of your yard. We're going to talk about bully birds today on the West Virginia Nest Podcast. We'll be right back.
Got questions about birds? We'll find you an answer. It's the West Virginia Nest Podcast. Email us your comments or questions at wvnest@gmail.com. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at WVNest.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly. All your life, you were only waiting for this moment to arise.
You knew I had to play the Beatles and Blackbird. Many of these bully birds, they are blackbirds. But not all blackbirds are considered undesirable or bully birds. And that'll be something that I point out to you. But what are bully birds? Bully birds are birds that take over feeders. They can clean your feeders out in just minutes, just because of the sheer volume, the numbers. And they generally discourage songbirds from coming to your feeders. So, and I've been asked this question before, when I'll talk about trying to run grackles off or blackbirds off, and I'm basically feeding the songbirds. People are like, well, why would you feed one and not feed the other? It's not even that I mind feeding. It's the same with squirrels. It's not that I mind feeding them. It's just that they run off the other birds. And you don't get the beauty of a cardinal, or chickadees or mockingbirds or whatever. If the other birds are gone and you're sitting there looking at a bunch of grackles, well, there's no fun in that. There's very little beauty. So we're going to talk about the big three bully birds, European starlings, house sparrows and grackles. And when I say grackles, we'll just include all the blackbirds in there. But I'll give you a little bit of history about it. Let's start with the European starling. Now, European starlings were native to Eurasia and North Africa. They are not native to the United States. We actually brought them here. If you don't know what a European starling looks like, it's a stocky little blackbird with a short, square tail. It's got a long, pointed yellow bill. Usually they're yellow. They're a beautiful bird. There's no way around that. They're iridescent black, and they've got collared specks all over them during the breeding season. The specks kind of look like stars. So I would imagine that's where they get the name starling from. They introduced 50 pairs of these birds in New York. And the reason why they did it is probably the dumbest of all reasons in the history of releasing or introducing an animal or a non-native species into the United States. They did this. They released 50 pairs in New York in 1890 and 50 more pairs in 1891 to establish all the birds mentioned in the works of William Shakespeare. Can you believe that? They wanted to have all the birds in this country that Shakespeare mentioned in his works. So they felt it necessary to set loose 100 pairs of European starlings in a country where they weren't native. It's crazy, right? So here we are, I don't know what, 150, 170 years later, there were 100 pairs set loose. And I think there were a few times when they released a few more pairs. But basically, that 100 pairs, that was the beginning of the European starling in 1890 and 1891. In a population survey in 1994, the European starling population was estimated at 140 million birds by 1994. If you don't like European starlings, you have to at least respect the fact that they were able to adapt, not only adapt, but thrive from 100 pairs of birds, 200 birds into 140 million in just about 150 years. That is incredible. Incredible. Now let me give you a little history on the grackle, the common grackle. They are native to America and Canada, North America and Canada. They're a longish, slimmer bird. They've got iridescent black. Their heads are so black. You've ever heard the expression, it was so black, it was blue. That's what a grackle's head looks like. And sometimes purple, but their head is definitely a different color. It's so shiny, iridescent, really, really dark blue. They have yellow eyes.
He had yellow eyes, so help me God, yellow eyes.
And they usually roll with other blackbirds. So that's why I'm kind of grouping all the blackbirds in with the grackles. We do have other blackbirds in West Virginia. We've got red-winged blackbirds. We've got rusty blackbirds. And we have other blackbirds that are not considered non-desirable. And we'll talk about that in just a second. Making up the big three, the house sparrow. This is the one, like I told you before, I get the most questions about how to get rid of these house sparrows. Now, they're native to Eurasia, North Africa, and the Middle East. They're about almost 6.5 inches long. They've got short wings and tails. The males have a black throat and sort of a V-shaped patch on their chest. And they've got large heads and large beaks for their body. And the reason for that is because house sparrows are actually a finch. So I guess, you know, they couldn't use the name house finch because it was already being used by a type of finch, but they are a finch. They're not a sparrow. Now, they introduced 8 pairs of these house sparrows in 1851 in Brooklyn. Now, at least they had a better reason for releasing these birds. And again, in 1872 and 1874 in Cincinnati, Ohio, they released some more pairs. These birds, the house sparrows, they were supposed to eat a particular worm, a crop pest, according to people that had immigrated to this country from other countries. They said, hey, you got a problem with this worm. These house sparrows will take care of it. So, you know, they imported them. They set them loose. And come to find out, they're mostly vegetarian. And here's the big one. They lack a natural predator. Other than domestic cats, they lack anything that will eat these birds. They're just, I guess, too quick for really to be a target of snakes And other than domestic cats, they don't have a natural predator. Well, that changed real soon because the population blew up. And basically, there was one point in this country when the farmers and most of the people in the country were at war with these little house sparrows. It was crazy. So those are the big three. We've got European starlings, we've got grackles, and we've got house sparrows. Now, we're lucky that these birds share a lot of common bonds. So in order to get rid of these birds in your yard, at least, you know, for a short time, they're always going to come back no matter what. But luckily, they have enough similarities to where you can pretty much do a broad spectrum of things to control the populations of each one. And I'll tell you about some of those things. First of all, you got to understand what they like. What bully birds like. They love, now all birds pretty much love black oil sunflower seeds, but bully birds really love them. They love corn, cracked corn. In the bulk of some songbird mixes that you buy, you may not be intentionally buying a mix or seeds with cracked corn in it, but a lot of the songbird mixes that you buy do have cracked corn. That's something that you've got to take a really good look at when you're buying a songbird mix or a bird seed mix, trying to get a variety of birds. Make sure it doesn't have corn in it, because if it's got corn, you're going to get bully birds. They also love bread, so if you're putting out scraps, they love bread, they love millet. They love suet, any kind of suet you want to put out there, any kind of dinner scraps, they'll come to it. They love wheat, and they love Milo. Now, Milo is kind of a new term for a lot of birders, and it was for me. I had to go back and do my research on Milo. It's a large reddish seed, and it was mainly used to bait doves and turkeys and pheasants. People, game birds love it. It's basically sorghum. Milo is sorghum. And most other birds hate it, but these game birds and the bully birds love it. So you've got to check when you buy these songbird mixes and never buy any of these seeds that contain Milo. Milo's basically used as a filler for songbird mix anyway. You can buy it just by itself if you're trying to bait game birds or whatever. I don't even know if that's legal. I don't want people to hunt birds, but I'm just saying you can buy it. And it's sorghum. It's Milo. That's what it's called. So be sure and check for either Milo or sorghum on your birdseed mix. If it's in there, don't get it, or you're going to have bully birds because they love it for whatever reason. So let's talk about what bully birds hate. Well, they hate Niger, a thistle. Niger is expensive. I buy it occasionally and feed it to my finches. I'll put it in a finch sock or a tube feeder specifically for finches. Most finches love it. House finches, purple finches, American goldfinches, really. Love Niger. So some places call it Niger, some call it thistle. It's the same thing. They also hate safflower. And titmice, chickadees, cardinals, they love safflower. Safflower might be a good replacement for black oil sunflower seeds if you want to cut that out, which that's something I would never do because it seems like every bird loves black oil sunflower seeds. But if you need to replace them, even temporarily, if you want to go a month and say, you know, use the safflower for titmice and chickadees and cardinals to draw those birds in and not have to worry about the blackbirds, you could do that. And then, you know, after a month or so, you could just replace it with the black oil sunflower seeds. And like I told you, these bully birds, they'll come back. Trust me, they'll come back. But it may take a few weeks or even a few months before the herd, that's why I call them the herd, recognizes that you're feeding again and that good food's out there. But trust me, it does work. So, you know, I think not feeding is probably going to be your best bet. But let's look at some other alternatives. Knowing what the bully birds like to eat and what they don't like to eat, use that to your advantage. Knowledge is power. Bully birds are a little bit larger as a rule. So you can adapt to use smaller feeders, which will discourage bigger birds from feeding. Now, some of these feeders are designed for only smaller birds, and you can take some of the feeders that you have and even do some modifications to them. One of the things you can do is you can put chicken wire up around feeders, just basically build a little cage, and you've got to use the chicken wire that's got like the 2-inch spaces. So it will allow only the smaller songbirds to get in there and get to the seeds. And there's advantages and disadvantages, and I'll go over the pros and cons to each one of them. But as far as the chicken wire goes around the feeders, the pros are it does work well. It keeps the blackbirds away from the seed. And another pro is it's relatively cheap. Chicken wire doesn't cost a lot of money. you know, if you're mechanically inclined in the least bit, you can fashion some sort of a cage to put it in. So it is relatively cheap and relatively easy. Now, some of the cons on this method is some songbirds can't get to the food. Obviously, the smaller ones like the chickadees and the titmice, they may be able to squeeze through there. But cardinals, which are just as big as some of the blackbirds or bully birds, won't be able to get in there. Catbirds, orioles, and there's the first blackbird that we talk about that we want. An oriole is a blackbird. Orchard oriole, Baltimore oriole, they're blackbirds. But they're desirable blackbirds. They're not bully birds. They're beautiful. We want those. So a lot of those birds can't get in to the feed. So you're going to see less of those. And that's a big con. Another big con is that they are a pain in the butt to clean and refill. If you've got a cage around something, you've got to take the cage off of it to be able to get to it and refill it or clean it. And chicken wire can just rip your hands to shreds. You know as well as I do, if you've ever been around chicken wire, used it for anything. That's a big con. You can plan on taking an extra 10 to 15 minutes to get to the thing, whether you're refilling it, which you're going to refill it every couple of days. You're going to clean it a couple of times a year, but that is a huge con for me. So let's talk about changing up the seed in the feed. I already told you about corn. If you can discontinue corn and cracked corn and any of the mixes that have corn and use Niger and saffron, bully birds hate it. And other birds like finches and cardinals, they love it. So that's one alternative method. Now, it works really good, and that's the pro. It does work. Big cons are Niger and saffron and safflower are not cheap. They're expensive. So where you're used to paying, I think I pay around $13 for 40 pounds of black oil sunflower seeds. You can expect to pay $13 for 5 pounds of Niger. Saffron, I'm not sure about. I think saffron is a little more expensive. Safflower, I know, is more expensive than Niger. So, you know, if you've got the extra money, great. But just be aware, that's a con. Niger, saffron, safflower, they're all expensive. And it also sort of limits the birds you get. Not as many birds like the Niger and saffron and safflower as they like the black oil sunflower seeds. So automatically, if you take away the black oil sunflower seeds and the cracked corn, you're not going to get as many birds at your feeders because as many birds don't like it. And so that's a con. So think about all that. Another method that I stumbled up on was ultrasonic bird repellers. Now, this is kind of crazy, but they repel starlings, grackles, crows, sparrows, pigeons, and it uses ultrasonic sound waves. And I'm not recommending this because I don't understand how they can make the claim that it will repel starlings and grackles and crows and sparrows and pigeons, but not also repel robins and cardinals and chickadees and titmice and nuthatches. How does it, do those birds react different to the sound? I don't know. I honestly don't know. It's going to work. It's going to work too well. In my opinion, it's going to keep all birds away. So if you want to give that a shot and try it, I can't find an answer. I tried to do the research. Just couldn't come up with a definite thing. It sounds to me like this is something for people that are growing grass and they're trying to keep the birds from eating the seed and they want to keep all the birds out of there. That's to me is what this sounds like. So I don't recommend that. Another way is to try and outwit them. And you can do that. Bully birds, especially starlings, they're pretty nervous about going under anything with cover. So what you may be able to do is modify feeders or buy feeders that have the oversized roofs or eaves or even add it on, you know, modify the feeders you have and add like a little overhang on there. Squirrel baffles will work good for this. And what happens is because these starlings and these other bully birds are nervous about going under cover, they won't go under there. They won't feed there. They'll move on. Hopefully that's the idea. It works okay. Some of the pros, it's pretty easy to modify. Basically, you're just putting a plywood cover or a paneling cover over your existing feeders. Some of the cons are the pre-made feeders. If you buy feeders with this feature already on there, they're a bit expensive. And feeders aren't cheap anyway. So look to pay a lot more for a feeder that has the cover already on it. Another con is it limits the birds. Again, a lot of birds, a lot of songbirds can be a little reluctant to feed undercover also, just like the European starlings and the other bully birds that don't like to go undercover. Some songbirds don't like to do that. So it's going to limit the birds that you get. Another big con is these feeders. They take up a lot more space in sections of your yard than just, say, a regular feeder. I mean, if you take a regular hopper feeder, let's say, and it's, I don't know, 8 by 8 inches, that's the amount of space that you're going to take up. But if you put a 1 foot by 1 foot cover over the top of it to keep these bully birds away, then you're actually taking up a 1 foot by 1 foot by 1 foot space. So you see what I'm saying? You're going to have a lot more room for some of these feeders with the roof over them. And if you've got the room, then that's great. But that's just another con. Another thing you could do is never, ever feed birds on the ground. Now, this will take care of doves. If you don't like the doves in your yard, this will take care of pigeons and a good deal of the bully birds because they like to feed on the ground. Some people put out platform feeders, which are just a flat feeder that basically any bird can land on, even though it's elevated, it's off the ground. Some people use ground feeders. You got to get rid of these things if you want to get rid of the bully birds. They all love platform feeders and ground feeders. So that may be another option just to look if you're feeding on a platform feeder or you're feeding on a ground hopper or something like that. You may want to get rid of those, at least temporarily, at least for a month. And then hopefully those birds will move on. You'll be able to put it back out there and get the desirable ground feeders like the robins and the towhees and birds like that. Another method is to catch the seed waste, to falling seeds. How many times have you put out some kind of a feeder and the seeds get spilled out, and that's where you find the pigeons and the doves and the ground feeders, the bully birds that feed on the ground. They'll wait. They'll fly in and wait for minutes and minutes and minutes under those feeders, hoping other birds that can land on it will spill the seed out, and that's how they eat. So a lot of these bully birds, they feed on the ground only, particularly pigeons and doves. What you can do is you can modify your existing feeders or even buy feeders that have a cone-shaped baffle below the feeder itself. And this will catch the falling and it will eliminate spills. And this has a lot of great effects. Anybody that's ever put black oil sunflower seeds out in the grass and they get spilled onto the grass, they kill grass. There's something toxic for grass inside black oil sunflower seeds. You'll have a ring around your feeder pole where the thing is hanging because it just kills grass. But some of the pros for doing it this way, adding the cone-shaped baffle to catch the seeds, are it works really good for pigeons and doves, and it also protects the grass from sunflower seeds, which is really toxic. Now, some of the cons are these catchers are expensive. Even if you're just adding a squirrel baffle or some kind of catcher to catch the seeds, they're not cheap, and it doesn't work particularly well for starlings, or blackbirds or house sparrows that don't feed on the ground necessarily. The starlings will feed anywhere. A lot of the blackbirds will feed anywhere, but if the perch is big enough and the feeder's big enough, the house sparrows will land on it, the starlings will land on it, the blackbirds will land on it. So it's not a guaranteed thing. It's going to help out with pigeons and doves, not so much with the rest. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Another way is just point blank to buy specialty feeders. Specialty feeders are a lot more expensive, but they're designed to work in specific ways to get rid of these blackbirds and these bully birds. Some of the bowl and dome feeders, that's what I call them. I don't know what the official name, but basically it's a big glass bowl that you fill full of whatever seed you want. It turns upside down and it's got a ring around the bottom and it's a very small ring. And for some reason, I've got pictures of blackbirds and grackles and some of these bully birds. They can't perch on it. For some reason, I don't know why, but they'll land underneath and wait for stuff to spill. They can't get on these. They work exceptionally well for the grackles. Bowl and dome feeders, you look for it, you'll see what I'm talking about. Big glass bowl, and usually it's made out of metal, and it's got a frame that is basically just a little hopper where the seeds come out at the bottom and a ring around it. And for some reason, a lot of birds can't land on that ring. They're fairly expensive, though. I'll warn you about that. Tube feeders are another way to keep some of these bigger birds away, and tube feeders are cheap. I use a lot of tube feeders. The only problem with them are they're really made for finches and the smaller birds. You won't have any problems getting chickadees and titmice and finches on them, but there are a lot of songbirds that just can't land on them. They're just the wrong engineering for them to comfortably perch and eat from it. So that will limit, but definitely you'll never see any of these bully birds on a tube feeder. I guarantee you that. Another alternative is hopper feeders with a collapsing perch. Now, these perches have a little spring on them, and they can only take so much weight. And if something is too heavy on the perch, it just basically collapses, and then it pops right back up as soon as the bird flies away. So these work very well. They're really expensive, though. And they're great for stopping squirrels. If you have a problem with squirrels like I do getting into your food, now, like I said, they are very expensive, but they work. And they will deter some of the heavier songbirds. I've seen them collapse with cardinals. I've seen them collapse with mockingbirds. I've seen them collapse with gray catbirds. So you have to be careful about it. But definitely the smaller birds are going to be okay to eat from these collapsible perches. And they work for all the blackbirds. Another thing you can do on tube feeders and other feeders that you have is you can shorten the perch. Just file that sucker down. And I'm serious. This works. It will only accommodate a smaller bird if you shorten the perches, even on your hopper feeders. It's easy. It's cheap. It does limit larger songbirds from feeding, which is a big con. But definitely shortening those perches will get you smaller birds. Now, suet may seem impossible because you have a suet cage and you put a block of suet in it, and then whatever gets to it can get to it. But there are ways that you can outsmart these birds. For suet, you can use a box and expose only the bottom of the suet cage. And what this does is it allows only the birds that can hang upside down to eat the suet. And believe me, they're going to find it. They see a box out there. They're going to explore it. A lot of woodpeckers and titmice, chickadees, nuthatches, finches, they can all hang upside down and eat. None of the bully birds can. They can't do it. So what you're doing is you're exposing only the bottom of the suet cage, which forces the birds to eat hanging upside down. And if they can't do it, they're not going to mess with it. And like I said, the good birds, they can do it. Nuthatches, finches, chickadees, titmice, woodpeckers. We've all seen woodpeckers and nuthatches. Nuthatches go down a tree upside down. So you know they can do it. Starlings, blackbirds, they just can't. And another thing you can do is just cover that suet cage with a roof. Period. Just cover it with a roof. You've got the nervousness that it causes starlings about feeding under a roof. You've got no way for them to eat from above. The only option they have is to fly under that roof, hold on to it, and feed upside down. And that's going to take care of all the problems that you have on your suet cage. That one's pretty much foolproof too. So, and just one other little bit of information here for you. Two of those three species, house sparrows and European starlings, are not protected under the Protection Act. So if it, and I wouldn't advocate this, I would never shoot a bird, but if it comes to the point to where they're attacking all the other songbirds, or they're going after, let's say you have a garden and they're really just destroying your garden, you could shoot them on your property. You'd be well within your rights to do that. And like I said, European starlings and house sparrows, they are not protected under the Protection Act. You have problems with grackles and most blackbirds, they are. Just the way it is. So you can't shoot the grackles, but you can shoot the house sparrows and the European starlings. Hopefully, it won't come to that. Hopefully. But that is one alternative. And that's something that I will only do under a rare circumstance where, you know, your family depends on a farm or a garden to survive, and you have massive problems with these birds cutting into your crops and your profits or whatever. Yeah, it's got to be done. So just keep that in mind. European starlings and house sparrows are not protected under the Protection Act. And hopefully there's some ways that you can deal with some of these bully birds. You ever have a question about it, feel free to reach out to us. You can find us on Facebook at WV Nest, Instagram at WV Nest, and also our YouTube channel at WV Nest. We're on there. Send us a message through Facebook or email us at wvnest@gmail.com. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the West Virginia Nest Podcast, the wild, wonderful birds of West Virginia.
Yes, sir.
With Kid Conley.
Before I started trying to just cram everything into one day here on a Sunday. And the reason for that is because it rains every day in West Virginia, and I had to cut my grass today and get this podcast up and running, cooking a big old rack of baby back ribs today. So I got up and seasoned them and put them in the crock pot about 5 hours ago. My house just smells amazing right now. I guess I'll do a little corn on the cob with it. I found this recipe on Facebook for Parmesan potatoes. You cut the potatoes up. Apparently, you season them, roll them in Parmesan, and just bake them. And it just looked delicious. So I'm going to do that. Got a little coleslaw, maybe a little baked beans, some homemade bread. That's how we roll here on Sundays in the Conley household. I wish you could stop by and have some ribs and corn on the cob with us. One thing I stumbled onto, I wanted to share this with you. is planting. We talked several weeks ago about planting native vegetation. And that was one of the ways that we can help in conservation of birds. But I come to found this article on this website. It's phenomenal. And it talks about planting native vegetation, not just for bird habitats, but for insects and worms to thrive in, which will bring in even more birds. Let me give you this website. Grab a pen or a pencil. Write this down. www.audubon.org. Audubon is AUDUBON.org /native plants. Now, what you can do here is you can put in your zip code, and it will give you a list of some native plants to your area, your specific neighborhood, that will help you bring in some bugs and worms to bring in more birds, even. I know, this is really, really cool. So I put in my zip code just to give it a test, and it gave me some really wild-looking flowers and stuff. One of them was an Allegheny monkey flower, and I am not up to date on flowers and vegetation and stuff. That was one, though. Allegheny monkey flower. Beautiful flower. It gives you lots of pictures of the vegetation. And not only does the vegetation attract birds, but it also attracts worms and bugs that will attract more birds. And this says it will bring in mockingbirds and brown thrashers, cedar waxwings, two different kinds of orioles, lots of woodpeckers, hummingbirds, vireos, and so it even tells you the birds that it will bring in. Here's another flower, and leaf dogwood is apparently native to South Charleston here, and will bring in some insects and worms that will bring in crows and blue jays, cardinals and grosbeaks, woodpeckers, warblers, orioles, woodpeckers, vireos, chickadees, and titmice. So you see how cool this is. American basswood is another thing that I can plant. And you get plenty of pictures. You get information about how and when to plant. Brings in orioles, finches, thrushes, chickadees, and titmice. Cedar waxwings, nuthatches, crows, and jays. So this, you can see how just how cool this is. And just in my zip code alone, it gave me a stack of about 50 sheets, which I printed out just to be able to share this with you. And you can discover what not only what the native plants are that will bring birds in, but that will also bring in insects and worms to help you draw in birds that you're not getting already. Let me give you the website again, www.audubon.org/native plants. Put in your zip code, find out what plants are supposed to be there, find out what plants will bring in what insects, what worms, and I guarantee you, it's going to bring more birds to your yard. How cool is that, huh? Pretty cool, if you ask me. Yeah, that's about it for this week. Not a whole lot of bird stuff. You'll notice that the hiking events, the bird hikes, the bird things, they kind of died down when we get into the dog days of summer because it's just too hot for a lot of people to go out and to do these birding events. So you'll see them slow down probably late August, early September. You're going to see them start popping up again. But, you know, if we get anything in the meantime, I'll be sure to pass it along to you. If you have an event, a bird hike, nature hike, anything like that that pertains to nature and birding, you can send it to us and we'll put it on the podcast absolutely free of charge. Send that to me at WVNest@gmail.com, or you can send it right through our Facebook page at WVNest. And that's going to wrap it up, guys. I'm going to go have some ribs, some corn on the cob, some homemade rolls, and those wonderful Parmesan potatoes. I'll let you guys know how it was last week. But I hope you enjoy yourself. I hope you have the best week ever, and we'll be back next Sunday right here on the West Virginia Nest Podcast. Be sure to visit our Facebook page, WV Nest, our Instagram page, and our YouTube page. All those, WV Nest. Look for the little red triangle with the cardinal on top, West Virginia Nest. Like our pages, and stay in touch with us. Till next week, happy birding.
Pack up all of my cares and woes. Here I go, singing low, bye. By my blackbird, where somebody waits for me, sugar sweet and honey, so is she.
bye-bye, my blackbird.
You've been listening to the West Virginia Nest Podcast with Kid Conley. Join us next week for another exciting podcast dedicated to the wild, wonderful birds of West Virginia. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at WVNest. Email us your comments or questions at WVNest@gmail.com. Happy birding!
Bye-bye.